life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I am Brian Smith, the man men call Brack. And this is Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. And I'm here with Anthony Askew.
That's me. Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Yes.
This podcast is just going to be some nattering about anime, I think, to begin with. I've got other plans for it later on, but we'll just start off.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Someone was unprepared, I think.
That was me. Yes. So what I want to chat is, because obviously I am an old man of 35 years old.
Oh, don't say that.
And how old are you? You're in your 20s, aren't you?
A young 23-year-old sprite.
Exactly. So there's like a big gap of when we obviously got into anime, I imagine.
Definitely.
So let me find my notes here. So what cartoons were you into before you knew what anime was?
Everything. I would watch some of the worst... Hell, the Raccoons.
Yeah.
I love the Raccoons.
Yeah, I watched them as a kid as well.
I've tried watching it since, and it doesn't have the same effect, if I'm honest. But,
my main memory of it is having it on the background while playing on the Acorn Electron as a kid.
Because
we weren't old enough. We were too posh to have a Spectrum or a Commodore.
We had to have
an educational computer, a BBC. But not,
did it pay off?
No, not really. No. No, had no interest in programming at all. You get those books full of code to type in your own programs. I've got loads in the boot of my car waiting to go on eBay. But I didn't. My interest in programming was not.
Didn't
prompted
flourish.
By that. No, not by that. I eventually what little interest I have was through necessity about 20-odd years later. From work, but so I remember that being on in the background as a kid. Well, as a kid, probably.
It was good. It was interesting. It was decent. Cyril Sneer. Need I say any more? But other than that, I'm trying to think. I didn't actually. Biker Mice from Mars.
Yes, I kind of remember Biker Mice from Mars from watching it as a university student. Because I think
good memories.
I think it was on Big Breakfast, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I was too young. I was young. My mum just stuck on the cartoons and I watched to keep us quiet. But other than I actually can't remember. I didn't expect you to ask that question, I'll be honest. Oh, God. CITV, Live and Kicking, Johnny Quest. There we go.
Yeah.
Johnny Quest.
So I think you...
Brilliant.
Because when I was growing up, I was of the era where we were fed anime, but not told it was anime as kids. Because we like had Battle of the Planets when I was like five or something, which obviously was Gatchaman. And then, because you'd have like... And then we'd get loads of co-productions like Ulysses 31 and Dogtanyan and all that stuff.
I love Dogtanyan.
Oh, yes, I don't know whether... See, I'm completely unaware of how much this got repeated later on. I know they used to show you...
See, I didn't think it was that old, I'll be honest.
Yes, well
I did not know that.
It's pretty much from the early 80s, I think. Or maybe mid-80s, but...
I did like that.
It's very much in the...
Bar-Bar? Was Bar-Bar around in your time?
Not as a TV show, I don't really recall it. I remember catching it as a cartoon, again, as a university student,
watching
Saturday morning cartoons. I don't remember watching that as a kid. So we had co-productions, and then you get weird stuff because it used to be like the ITV regions would all have their own different separate programming. So something like Jason the World Warriors, which I believe has been discussed recently with you on Facebook by a mutual friend of ours.
Yes. Overly fond of that series, I think he is.
Yeah, so obviously where I was in bottom end of Lincolnshire, we'd get Central, Yorkshire and Anglia regions to varying degrees on the aerial. And so Jason the World Warriors looked really interesting to me, but I'd only ever see it if I was around my grand's or if there was a particularly strong signal coming in from Norfolk.
And was it good? Just for argument's sake.
As a kid, yes, it was good. It's sort of, I don't know what studio, I think there's definitely outsourcing to either Japanese or Korean studios to do the
animation. Yeah,
There's, I want to do a podcast on that later on. There's a website, Megna, I think, who've got a great database of which East Asian animation companies worked on what cartoon.
All right, yeah.
But yeah, so there's loads of stuff like that. And then what are the things kept me interested in animation? Rolf's Cartoon Club, that'd been one. He'd mainly have like whatever sort of MGM and Warner Brothers cartoons the BBC had got. But they'd have like some like the Canadian sort of public funded cartoons as well. Like The Cat Came Back. And then after that, Tony Robinson did something called Stay Tuned.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, with that's probably had a bigger influence on me, because where Rolf was trying to like teach you how to draw all the characters.
Did you try? Did you join in?
As a kid, I had a book with a which was definitely trying to get you to draw cartoons, with a foreword by Rolf Harris. I don't think he wrote it himself. He just wrote the foreword. But I have read
some other poor person finish it off.
Some
other Aussie.
I was never really that good at drawing, though. I have recently picked up the Preston Blair animation book.
What's that?
It's the book that animators. It's like an animator's bible type thing. It's like
I see.
In like 30s and 40s of just loads of exercises and of sort of shape and form and movement. And even if I never really go through the exercise, it's good to be able to see them to get a better appreciation.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Plus, it was only £1.40 on Amazon.
Oh, well.
I wasn't quite expecting it to be quite so big. I thought it'd be like a nice sort of a book I could slip inside a bag, but it's like
not quite.
It's huge. It's a huge in size of paper, but not particularly in number of pages.
Right,
yeah, it's quite interesting to read, and for that price, it's definitely worth a look.
Can't be wrong.
What other things have I got on my list? Yeah, so at what point did you sort of know anime as anime? Were you one of the Pokemon generation?
I think I was kind of slightly before that, possibly. I don't know when that kind of came in, but
Pokemon was 98, because
I was probably borderline 98, 99, but it was with Dragon Ball Z.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, because that was that on satellite, because I don't think it ever got shown on terrestrial TV.
So I went round my next door neighbour's house, you see, and that's how I was first introduced to it.
Yeah,
and then I fell in love, to be honest. I begged my mum and dad for Sky and literally did marathons of it over the summer of Dragon Ball Z. Seriously, they must have showed it back to back on a daily basis. And as a child, I had nothing better to do. Go outside? Hell no. So I just sat and watched that.
Yeah, because people my age, I never saw it, but because it was never shown here in the 80s.
Yeah,
but it was shown, obviously, on the continent. And so people would come back from summer holidays abroad, and they might talk about it, or they might come back with Dragon Ball Z toys or something.
Yeah.
And occasionally, I don't think I ever saw Dragon Ball stuff sweep up onto the coast and stuff, but some stuff would, because my brother went on holiday with my mum and aunts and uncles and cousins one summer to, I think it was Anglesey, and came back like robot key rings. I wouldn't know then, because that was probably 1990 or sometime around, maybe earlier than that. And it wasn't until I started getting into anime in 95 that I realised, oh, those are all Go Nagai robots. So quite what they were being sold in a seaside shop in Anglesey, I don't know. Presumably they picked them up cheap, because they must have been being sold on the continent for probably France.
Yeah.
And so I think if you went like seaside towns and pound shops, you'd occasionally see things which they bought up cheap on the continent or something, or maybe they were bootlegs bought cheap on the continent.
Bit out of context for the beach, though, surely.
It was a bit,
but not a nice little seashell or anything, just...
Well, yeah, it was Wales, so I don't think there was too much...
Anything goes over there, but that's another story.
So Dragon Ball was sort of like this vague thing I was aware of beforehand. I think probably because I didn't get into anime until sort of 95 when I was 19. But I was aware of it earlier than that because of the grey import video game scene of the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you know about that. Where
sort of... I don't know anything.
Basically,
so go on, enlighten me.
I think we'd had like consoles in the UK that hadn't really taken off after the Atari era. So I think we had the Master System.
But I think
the Nintendo NES never really took off here. I think Computer and Video Games, CNVG, when it was Jazz Rignall running it, they started reviewing import games from Japan. Started being like this small industry of people importing both the consoles and then the games. And sort of the richer kids in our class would be importing PC Engines to begin with. And we'd get these games in and completely having to learn how to play them through trial and error because all the instructions are in Japanese. There's loads of Japanese text. And then people would start importing Japanese games magazines as well. So that's probably a big part of where sort of the Dragon Ball awareness came in throughout that sort of thing. But there was this fanzine called PC Engine Fanatics. And there was like a classified ads in the back, and a guy, I think it was probably a guy called William Azoug, who I went to school with. He got these weren't even fan subs; these were just like raw anime copies. One was Akira.
I bet that blew his mind.
The live-action film Gunhead, which obviously you got because it's got the same name as a PC Engine game. And one was some episodes of Crying Freeman. Now, bizarrely, we had like this film club in our class where we'd watch films.
How old were you at this point?
I'm trying to think. It'd be very early 90s, so it was before sixth form. But we definitely watched the anime when we were even in the fourth year or fifth year, as it was then. I don't know what they're called now. So
11, I think.
Yeah, so...
15, 16?
Yeah, so I was 15 in 1990. Yeah, so 15, 16 makes sense. So we'd have like this film club where we'd mainly watch bootleg films that a guy called Robert Bell had brought back from Greece during the summer. So, like, films which not only should we not be watching in school, we weren't even legally watching them in school in the first place.
I bet the quality was incredible.
Oh, it was, yeah. Naked Gun, sort of, I think maybe Turkish subtitles.
Goodness.
Or something. But yeah, so out of those three, we didn't watch Akira, which might have been sensible. We didn't watch Gunhead. No, we watched Crying Freeman in school.
And what's that about? I've never even heard of it.
It's like a Yakuza sort of violent melodrama type thing.
Lots of violence
and lots of nudity. So exactly what you want.
Exactly
what 15-year-old boys want to be watching. Whether they should be watching it at school.
Was this within school hours?
At school lunchtime with their teacher.
Oh, right.
We did do something worse than the sixth film, where we watched Bad Taste, which I think was actually banned at the time, so that was going one step further.
Well, your teachers sound like really great people if they're letting you do this at lunch times.
The same teacher had, I believe, at a later point, I wasn't there, but did once after a school play party had to be deposited back at his house by pupils. Because he was too drunk to get home on his own. But let's not name names.
No, let's not.
Yeah, so by the time, I was more prudish and Crying Freeman. That was one thing which put me off watching anime.
I'll put you off. All right.
Yeah, because it's not that great animation. And it did, without actually knowing what was going on, it just seemed like a load of sex and violence. And obviously, as a prudish 15-year-old boy.
Yeah, it was... bit overwhelming.
While I sort of got into reading Akira when it was published in Manga Mania, I was reading my brother's copies, and it wasn't until he stopped getting it that I started getting it myself, and then that sort of was the slippery slope after that point.
Is he still interested in anime and stuff?
Not really, no. He's you watch the Studio Ghibli stuff.
Yeah.
Miyazaki stuff, but no, he's all busy with his band, which is nice because he's done the theme tune for this.
Oh, right. I look forward to hearing it, which at this point we should have heard it. if you listen to this podcast, you will have heard it.
Yes, and it was by my brother, who's in the Quiet band at the moment, and also the Heartware Process, but they're not doing much at the moment. Dragon Ball was your first love.
Yes, first little taster of what was then a dark rodent of the depth of hentai and other vulgar things. No, but seriously, it just clicked with me, to be honest. As I say, I begged my mum and dad for Sky, they got it, and I just rinsed through that show like you could not imagine. And then from then, it was kind of recording stuff on VHS on Sci-Fi Channel on a Saturday night, early Sunday morning. And then I just watched from there. It was Cyber City 08-08-808.
Yes, yeah.
I love that. That's one of my all-time favourites.
You're not alone there. Not only is one of my all-time favourites, but...
Good man.
I do like it, but there's a mutual friend of ours, Perrin. Have you ever met his friend Johnson?
I haven't. Is he a fan or is he a hater?
Oh, he loves Cyber City.
Oh, good.
To the point where I believe he thinks every single anime should be like that.
Well, I thought that for a while. I felt nothing lived up to that. So, to some degree, he could be right. But I don't actually own it on DVD, surprisingly, which is very disappointing.
I'm not sure if it's
not even Region 1.
Yeah, I'm not even...
I think you can get Region 1, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I think it might have been deleted from Region 2, because there was a whole... Because those who may not know, I used to work for a company called Videolog, where we used to keep a database of every single DVD and video which had been, and UMD, of course, which had been released in the UK.
You sound interesting.
And there was at one point where there was a huge, vast swathe of Manga UK's catalogue, which had to be deleted because all the licences had expired.
It's a shame, that, really. So unless you're ratcheted around a car boot, you mightn't...
Yeah, or eBay.
Find some... Or, yeah, true, eBay.
A lot
yeah.
of the stuff turns up on eBay, because there was that... Well, I'm only aware of it after the fact, but apparently it was like one of those part-work magazines called Manga Force, where they serialise out all their stuff disc by disc in like a weekly magazine. And yeah, you see a lot of those turning up on eBay, so that might be a place to get stuff there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so how did I start buying and sort of... really hoarding the stuff. The first thing I bought was Tenchi Muyo in 95, the dub, when Pioneer were putting stuff out in the UK. Bought the first two volumes of that, and then I started getting Urusei Yatsura, which, what are they called? It's the Animego subtitles, but it was somebody else putting it out in the UK, whose name completely escapes me now. But yeah, I was picking them up. This was when... there was a lot more places than just HMV to buy the videos from.
Was it expensive back then? Because obviously all my time,
It was expensive. So I think the Tenchi Muyo stuff sort of came in... I think that would have been about... you'd get two episodes for OAV, so that's about an hour's worth of stuff.
Yeah,
that was probably a tenner for a VHS copy. And obviously you're only getting the dub. Because we were told back then that it was too expensive to put subtitle stuff out. Whereas nowadays, it's too expensive to...
it's encouraged.
It's too expensive to do the dubs now, as some of the labels are finding out. And then Urusei Yatsura, which was subtitled, but you'd get four episodes. So that was about 100 minutes worth of stuff. That was $12.99, I think, per tape.
That's all right.
That was pretty good. And I think the bang for the book and the general weirdness of it... and sort of made me a big fan of that, but also there's an episode, I think the second episode in, there's an episode about penguins, and I think that's the exact point where I thought, okay, yeah, I want more of the strange Japanese cartoon stuff.
So all your pocket money went on this?
Well, all my, not pocket money, more sort of student loan and even grant.
Even better.
Even grant back then, I'm old enough to have had a student, had some grant.
Well, what else can you spend it on, eh?
Well, no, and the other good thing is that sort of the year after I'd started getting into anime is I had an industrial placement year, so then I was earning proper money for a year. which was handy. Good. So I was able to go to my first convention. And, yes, Wasteland.
Which was?
Which was Recontaminated, which was in the Birmingham Grand Hotel.
Yeah.
Have you been to any cons held there?
Never been to Birmingham, through choice. No, but I've never been to a con there, no. How many attendees did it have?
At the time, I want to say 350.
I'm quite impressed there's that many,
maybe,
to be honest.
Maybe I could be wrong there. I could look it up, but I'm not going to.
Can't be bothered.
I can always put it on the show notes, actually. But yeah, it was a fair few people there. I think that was generally... Because they held some other ones there. Later than that, but earlier versions of Iacon were held there.
Ah, right. So, is there any of those people that you met at that con that still go to cons?
No, I didn't really used to hang out with anybody there.
were you there just for the dealer's room?
Dealer's room, and it was also because that was also a place to actually see stuff when you stuck out in the sticks in Grimsby then. It was kind of the opportunity to see stuff. And also, it was full of really old weirdos. Some of which who are still there.
Mentioning no names once again.
I wouldn't know who their names are.
Oh, right. Didn't associate yourself.
No, so yeah, that was sort of how I got in. Then the following year, I went to probably the second Minamicon, I want to say, which was when it was held in Portsmouth rather than Southampton as it is now.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah, that sort of set me off on to going to conventions fairly regularly, despite...
money.
Well, not money. No, some conventions almost put me off going to some. But...
Really? Is there a story about Rarite here?
Not a big story. There was one held in 2001, which was, I think it was just called AnimeCon, in Liverpool at... Again, I can't remember the hotel's name. It's the one which that documentary about the hotel in Liverpool was in, but a very nice hotel. But the convention was it didn't start off well when they claimed that I hadn't signed up.
I
tried to pick my badge up.
I've got to say that's the kind of stuff I would just hate that to happen. Traveling all the way somewhere, turn up. Oh, sorry, mate, you're not registered. What did you say?
I was going to go and I threatened to go to the bank and get a statement to prove it to them. Wise ahead noticed that I actually was on the list. So.
Oh, that's good. Have they run a con since? Or?
I don't believe those people have run a con since.
Ah, right. Poor organisation skills, that's where it is.
Quite possible. There was other strange things as well. Like, I believe the dealer's room... They couldn't connect their so United Publications couldn't connect their credit card thing to a phone line and things like that.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it was one
thing. You don't carry cash these days, do you?
It's one thing after another. But yes, I think which con did we first meet at? I think it was Anamicon, because you were telling
me. Possibly Anamicon 06? Does that sound right? Too early?
Might be too early. Might be 08.
Or 7. 08. 08.
Yeah, what year did Dark Knight come out? Was that 08?
08.
Yes, because you were telling appalling joke jokes.
What was the joke? What joke was it? Can you remember?
There were loads of puns on Why So Serious, I seem to remember.
Oh, that's right. It was something to do with Star Wars joke, wasn't it? Oh, goodness. It was related to Star. Anyway, it wasn't that good. You're not missing much. I know. It was terrible. That was a good year. That was a good con.
Yeah, I think... I'm trying to work out whether that was the first thing I ran an event at a convention. No, I think 2007 was probably the first time. Because
For the listeners, which event is this?
This would be the Mad Stravaganza. Panel, which is a collection of clips which are normally sort of parody or odd adverts or odd music videos which sort of have an anime tie-in or an animated tie-in. It's kind of inspired by the sort of late night programming, which probably before your time, but used to happen at conventions where they'd run through the night. There's a guy called Jim McLennan who runs the Trash City website and used to be fanzine, now lives in Arizona. He used to run these late night programs of, he'd like show Japanese wrestling, random episodes of Michael Moore's TV Nation and sort of Jackie Chan films. I just wanted to get back to something which was sort of an old collection of clips, so to speak, in memory of that, and also to stop every single event being about cosplay at a convention.
Good. And as someone who's been to one of these panels, I can actually vouch for it being very entertaining.
But yeah, it was sort of
very odd.
Yeah, it was sort of
entertainingly.
It was sort of 2006 where I was like, okay, I'm coming to cons. I like to see everybody who I know when I come to them, but I'm not really doing anything at the con that the con's laying on for me. Just go around these people's houses or meet up with them in whichever town they live to see them rather than do this all the time.
So I thought,
well, let's put my money where my mouth is and actually
give something back.
Actually run the sort of panel I'd want to go and see myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be happening again at Kitacon this year and at Iacon this year, which I believe Kitacon has just opened a load more spaces up.
Yes, I don't know, I think it's extended to maybe
1,000.
1,000, yeah.
So that's in April 1st to the 3rd, isn't it?
Yes, that's in Birmingham,
and that's
if memory serves me right.
Kitacon.org.
Sign up.
Yes.
Get it done, it's good, it's going to be good.
Yes, I'll be running a best of Madstravaganza there, where it'll be the best of all the material I've run in the past 5 years now.
Oh, greatest hits.
Greatest hits, yes. And then there'll be a fresh lot of stuff at Icon.
Ah, good. See, I never understand and I can never comprehend where you find these clips.
Mainly through YouTube and Nico Video. Normally I've got like a list. What I normally do is I make a list of topics I'd like to include. And these sort of the things I want to see. So that's why there's normally loads of giant robo clips. and also sort of looking at something like My Anime List, which is that website people use to keep track of all the anime they've been watching and just seeing what people are actually watching. Because what I'm watching might not necessarily be what anybody else is seeing.
Yeah.
And then I just go through and search, and if it makes me laugh, then it goes in. And then hopefully it makes me laugh a few months down the line when I actually do the panel. That's the worst thing about it, is sometimes I watch a clip so many times that I begin to question. Yeah. Don't do it so much now, but to begin with, I like sort of question whether or not
why it was there.
Yeah, why it was there in the first place. It doesn't always have to be make me laugh, because we ran at Amicon last year. I put in two straight sort of animator music videos, sort of showcasing two different animators. Yeah. And they went down very well as well, which is how the panel started off, was just doing those sort of showcase videos. And then I sort of gradually made it sillier by stealth, so people would be more used to it when it actually turned into what I wanted it to be. But yeah, I think it's a harder sell to get somebody to go to just see that. But if you actually slip it in, then people go, oh, yes, actually, we do like animation, so... We do actually have.
Speaking of anime music videos, that leads me onto my panel that I'm doing for KitaCon.
Oh, you are.
Did you know about that?
I did not know. No, they've.
Ah, see. There's actually a story with this. I kind of agreed to do it in. Well, I'll tell you the history. Basically, my first con, I was all into anime music videos. That's all I did. I loved it. And I kind of stopped pretty much just as. Time, because very time consuming, very time consuming. And I think it was last October I agreed to do an AMV panel, and until about 2 weeks ago I forgot about that. I totally slipped my mind, and someone in the IRC channel said, oh, blah blah blah, how's the panel coming on? And I'm like, huh? And I was like, oh, bloody hell, I've got to get my finger out here. But basically, it's me and Luke Dan. Loosh. Do you know Luke?
I know the name. I don't think I know the guy. Yeah.
Well, it's basically me and him talking a little bit about AMVs, and we do what's called an Iron Chef which is basically we have so long to edit. We both edit to a song live, and we'll kind of just talk the audience through. We'll welcome hecklers, welcome questions, and just hopefully it'll go well. And I have actually done some preparation, so it should be good. It should be good. And that is also a KitaCon. Don't know what, when, or what yet, but we'll see.
No, I'm penciled in for Saturday night, so I'm hopefully will be Saturday.
See, you come with the con. You see, I'm just throwing in under the space.
I've got to the point where I like to throw my weight around now.
Did you actually get to choose when you were doing it as well?
I put in that Saturday evening was probably the best spot for it, because that's
right.
Because when I started off, it was the very first one, I think, at Amicon 07 was probably sort of snuck away in the morning sometime.
People aren't out of bed, are they?
No. I've always managed to get a Saturday, which is what I've always asked for. Then the second one, I ended up being bumped an hour. I was an hour earlier than I was originally told. I did end up with 2 hours because that year they were having great difficulty getting people to give events to fill in. And that's where it started snowballing because we left the doors open when we ran it. And so we started getting more and more people coming in just from the sounds of laughter.
It is a really easy accessible panel. Like, you can kind of obviously go from the beginning, but you can jump in at any point.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've designed. Yeah, you can jump in and out. If you really need to escape 2 hours, you can't take 2 hours worth of it. But yeah, so that's sort of where it started snowballing. Then I realised, oh, I've got something here. And then IACON the next year, I asked, because we'd got about 100 people in that time. So I said, oh, can I have a room for 200? And the thing about IACON is the three rooms where they were doing stuff, I think, were 500, 750 and 1,000 people. And somehow I ended up in the 1,000-person theatre at 8 o'clock on Saturday evening, which I was...
That's a good time.
It is a good time, but at the time, having just done it to 100 people, I was like, okay, right. But the idea was, it was a smart idea because they wanted to split the pit audience for... so they didn't have everybody going into the pub quiz.
Right.
Because there's not enough room for everybody in the pub quiz.
Yeah,
there's something else along similar lines going on elsewhere, then that sort of made sure everybody had something to do if they wanted
to do definitely
before the party started. So that's kind of when I asked to be on in future now. So that's when I was on at Amicon last year, and hopefully that's when I'll be on at KitaCon this year.
8 o'clock is a prime time slot. It's
it is, because people will have eaten, and but they won't necessarily be ready for partying straight away.
True. Depend on who you are, because some people could just...
Well, some people party from the moment that the day before the con starts to the day after it finishes.
Oh, I don't think I could afford to do that or survive the weekend if I did that. Speaking of someone who actually got alcohol poisoning at, was it last summer con? Rum. Surely you know rum.
I knew no rum, yes. In fact, he knew me before... I knew him, which was quite... I remember one Amicon, him sort of waving and saying hello to me, and I was like, I have no idea who you are.
Celebrity status, it's perks of the job, eh?
Well, I did used to walk around... Well, I occasionally still do walk around a T-shirt with the main avatar I use on the internet on the front of it.
Right.
I think that's probably why people would know me that. Mm-hmm. Yes, alcohol poisoning at a convention. I do know people who somehow think... You anime fans are all these sort of very staid, well-behaved people. These are people who've never actually been to a UK anime convention.
It's really not the case. It really isn't. So,
I'm trying to think anything else I wanted to bring up. Oh, yeah, so, last thing. Just sort of get a general idea of our tastes. We're sort of... What sort of your favourite anime shows of all time?
Oh, Cowboy Bebop.
That's one of my. Bang. That's on my list as well.
Throw that one out. Oh, you've copied my list. I'm sure you have.
I suspect. No, I think the other ones. No, probably not.
Cowboy Bebop. Helsing. I'm a big Helsing fan. Is that on your list or not?
It's not the TV series or the OAV series.
I've only seen a couple of the OAVs, so it's obviously the original TV series.
Yeah, I've seen, I think, the first six of the TV. A friend of mine, John, who I mean to get on at some point on this podcast, he was a big fan of the TV series. I've seen, I think, the first three of the OAVs, and I much more prefer that, because it's...
They're 100% better.
Yeah.
The animation's great. Just a lot more concise, and it's like storytelling.
Yeah,
really.
They're not having to make up the ending like they had to do on the TV series.
Why did they do that?
Because it hadn't been finished. Like a lot of, particularly the Gonzo shows, because some shows will just sort of cut off with how much material they can adapt and just say, okay, we'll leave it there. If we get a second season, we'll carry on. But you might not. This might, if you really want to know what's happening, go and buy the comic. But a lot of the Gonzo shows, they just make their own ending up, often to the detriment of the show.
Sly dogs, very.
I don't know whether that was just so they had a better product to sell to the US, possibly, or and then to the UK.
See, I don't actually know how it all ends, if I'm honest. So
no, I'm not. But I do know it doesn't involve the same sort of artificial vampires, was it in the TV
series? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I don't think it involves that in the comic and the OAV.
Good. What else? What else? Berserk.
I've seen two episodes of that. I know loads.
Did you not like it?
No, I liked it. I just somehow not managed to see any more of it. And I've read the first volume of the manga. I know people who probably wouldn't identify themselves as anime or manga fans and who are big fans of it, just sort of people who I know from role-playing.
Yeah.
Makes sense that they'd be big fans of it. But they're getting excited about the film coming up. Where they're
yes. I've seen a little snippet trailer. If one about the same... Is it... that's the one.
Is it Pip's Got Puck in it, hasn't it? The elf who didn't appear in the TV series.
Oh, I have no idea. I've read very little of the manga. I've literally browsed it just because the artwork's really good, actually, in the manga.
It is, and it gets a lot. Bits I've seen of the later volumes, so its skill increases exponentially.
I must read that, actually. What else do I like? Ooh, Big O.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I think I've only seen the first season. I don't think I've seen the second one.
See, it's strange, actually, because I've seen the first half of the first season, skipped the second half, and watched series two. Don't know how that come to happen, but it just happened. But I do like Big O. I do like it. It's good. What's on your list? My list,
well, to begin with, Eurosight Sura, because that's sort of where I came in, and I still haven't quite finished watching it all. But, all the sort of the first chunk with Mamoru Oshii doing it is excellent stuff and sort of hooked me as a fan.
Yeah.
Then I've got Giant Robo, which is the thing I've probably watched the most that I own and have owned twice, once in VHS and once in DVD. It was handy that the DVD came out dirt cheap in a box set when the dollar was very weak, so I think it only cost me 10 quid to get it all as a DVD box set. But
goodness. And how much is it now, roughly?
It's probably not much more than that, because the dollar hasn't got that strong.
But... No. And how many episodes is that? Or is that like an OAV thing?
It's OAV, so it's 7 episodes. It's on, and then they did a bunch of specials, because there was such a huge gap before the last episode, that they just sort of made some silly comedy specials to fill in the hole.
Do you approve of these comedy specials?
I've not actually watched them. They're sitting on a disc on my shelf, currently unwatched. So I wouldn't be able to tell you whether they're good or not. But yeah, I think some of the Big O people came off Giant Robo to work on that. If they didn't, there's some very similar design work in there.
Yeah, definitely.
But
definitely.
Yeah, I love that. That was... I think came out on video. It was one of these ones where manga tried to do it like Gyver, where they put a...
Gyver, yes. Sorry to interrupt. I love Gyver. That's on my list.
And again, that's something I've never seen.
Serious? Oh, my God.
I've read plenty of articles about it. I've even see my, again, my aforementioned friend John do make a character for his Werewolf the Apocalypse, right, where one of them was a Guyver.
Oh, wow.
Such was his love of Guyvering. And also they like
Guyvering.
But no, I think it was before I got into anime, so I sort of never really was that interested in it. Mm. But they used to release them sort of episode per tape for like
$5.99
or something. Yeah, and they did the same with Giant Robo for like $6.99, and yeah, so that was a good thing to pick up at the time.
Yeah.
At least until it dried up, when we're waiting sort of years, I think 2 or 3 years maybe before the last episode appeared.
Bloody hell. That's not very good. Especially if you're a big fan.
Well, yes, quite. We're very pleased with it. And then at the end, well, the killer thing is at the end of it, it reveals that the entire series has only been like a prologue to a bigger story that he's never told.
Is the creator still alive? Or?
Well, the guy who... Yeah, because the original creator passed away, but the guy directed and wrote the OOV, because he drew in loads of characters from the creators of the series.
Right, see,
the last thing he did was the Mazinger remake from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you know, I did watch a few episodes of that.
He did a similar thing with that, where he drew in loads of characters from different series to put it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fangasm.
And he has revisited the series in a comic, but I think it's an alternate telling rather than a direct
scene. Right, I see.
So some characters who died in the series are still alive in that, or vice versa. So Cowboy Bebop was the next thing on my list. So I liked it so much that I bought DVDs. I bought import DVDs before I'd even had a DVD player to play them.
That is dedication.
It wasn't that long a gap, but it was like they were fairly cheap, and I picked them up, and then I better buy a DVD player. So
yeah, you better hard actually if you just bought the box set.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Oh, right, it's a great.
It wasn't even box sets then; it was still individual.
Oh, individual, yeah, yeah. Evangelion.
Yeah,
I almost let that one slip.
Yeah, I was a big fan when watching it, because that was one of the things I was getting on sort of VHS fan subs, sort of as it was coming out, or fairly close to when it was coming out in Japan on TV. So that was the thing I could show people at university, and they sort of, it would capture their interest without too much effort.
But you don't like it now. You sound very
well. Yeah, I'm not sure about it now. I've seen the remake films.
Right.
I've seen the second one twice now. I think it's flawed. I don't think it's necessarily as.
Right.
I mean, there's plenty of stuff in it which is better than everything else.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
As a whole, I'm not sure it necessarily stands up to the strength of its parts. And also it's not something I really want to rewatch for fun.
It's not very rewatchable. It's not too accessible.
And that was another one where it was ages before I ever saw the end.
We got up
to like episode 18 of fan subs, and then it got licensed, and then this was back in the day when people behaved themselves. So obviously we had to actually wait for the official release before.
And how long was that of a wait?
Oh, it was a fair wait, I tell you. I can't remember. It was... And then it's
that's horrible. And then... Horrible.
Well, yeah, it's wait for the end. It's tough. I don't know. I read One Piece, and that's been going 10 years, and it'll probably be another 10 years before the end comes along. Next on my list is Gurren Lagann.
Ah, oh, that thing.
Recent thing, yes.
Yes.
Just because it's so cartoony, and it does exactly what I like in a cartoon, which is escalate everything. I like things which start off small and then gradually get bigger, which is kind of how I like my cartoons.
I never actually watched that.
You should, it's good. It's on my list.
It's on your list? Ten Commandments from Brack. I may check it out, yeah.
And the last thing on my list is the most recent thing, which is Red Line.
You've mentioned this a lot.
I have. I'm going to see it again on Monday.
I'm sure I've seen the trailer for that thing.
Yeah, I've posted.
And it did look good, I have to say. It does look good.
Yeah, I saw it in May at Sci-Fi London last year, and then again at Leeds Film Festival in November. And then they're playing it again on Tuesday at the Barbican in London, so I'm going to nip along and see it again for a third time. And
when's it out on DVD or?
I think the date's got is sort of nebulous. It should be sometime this year, I believe. But it's the thing I'm going to buy a Blu-ray player for.
Oh, PS3 or outright Blu-ray player?
Probably an outright Blu-ray player. I might speak to John because he works at Sony, so he can tell me the ups and downs. whether it's whether it's good for a Blu-ray player or a fork out for a PS3, but it depends.
So why the love? Why the love of this Red Line?
It's a director I like, Takashi Koike, and it's just it's if you like Cyber City or Ado, as you said near the start of the episode. Yeah, you'll love this. It's a callback to that sort of time. It's the sort of thing, if it gets in, it'll get people who haven't been watching anime since those sort of...
Like me.
Yeah,
since
those manga video days, it'll get them back watching stuff again, because it's more of a throwback to that, and it's ridiculously well animated.
I would like to get back into it. Because I've got so many things backlogged that people have said, oh, download that, check that out, buy that. And I just get in the time. Now, I'm unemployed as well, so I do have the time. I think it's more of a just sinking my teeth in. And a friend told us to watch Kaiba. Have you heard of that? Well, I imagine you've heard of it.
Yes, I have, yes. Yes, you should.
Is it any good?
Yes, it is. You should watch that, definitely. And, actually, if I made this list was bigger, that might have been on it, along with a bunch of other things. But I just go for five.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
But yes, as your idea for the podcast was that I suggest things for you to watch.
Yes.
I did suggest something for you to watch, but we'll come back to that in the next episode, because we're coming up to 50 minutes, so I think it's time to close out this first episode of Dynamite in the Brain.
Yes, I've enjoyed it. It's been fun.
So where can people find you on the internet if they want more of you form?
Well, it depends... Facebook, but that's not very exciting, is it? Twitter. Everyone's tweeting these days.
Don't you write something for... Is it a DEFCON 2?
DEFCON 2, yes. There should be a Marvel vs. Capcom 3 review up there soon. But listening to this, it could already be out. Which it should be, if I get it done. Twitter, DEFCON2.co.uk. Check it out.
Do you still update your film blog?
Not really, but if you want to look at it, putting this on Awesome Engine.
I am, yes. I'll put notes and links and things.
Pump links onto that, pimp it out. Hopefully you'll get some subscribers, viewers, readers, whatever you want to call them, audience. So what do you do? What's your blog?
Well, I am on awesomeengine.com, which is awesome-engine.com. If I ever find $10, I'll also get awesomeengine.com, so I don't have to keep on explaining that hyphen.
$10, is that all you're shy of?
Well, I could probably get it cheaper somewhere else as well. But and on Twitter I am awesome_engine. At awesome underscore engine is where you can find me on there.
Yes. I'm Ant Askew, AntAskew. That's my Twitter. So follow.
Yes, and also you can like us on Facebook. I've made a fan page for Dynamite in the Brain. So if you search for Dynamite in the Brain, I'm sure that'll come up. And then
Brian's doing all the hard work for this podcast. I'm just a tag along.
And then once there's 25 people who've liked it, then we can give people a more easy URL. Because you have to have 25 people before they give you your own custom URL.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Right. So, come on, I'm sure we can ruster up
I'm
25.
I'm sure we can ruster up.
25 fools willing to click like.
If they're foolish enough to have downloaded and listened this far,
yes.
Then they surely must press like. But I'll also put the like button on Awesome Engine.
Good, good.
Right, yeah.
So, yes, what, next time, what do we have installed,
next
or do we
time,
not know?
We are going to discuss a load of things which aired on Fuji TV on Wednesday nights from the 60s through to the 2000s.
Yes.
And also, you're going to review a couple of episodes of Charge Man Ken.
I am.
I so, yes, be. Join us whenever the next episode comes out.
Uh-huh. Hopefully soon.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Good evening.
Goodbye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.